Vice President Mike Pence made a surprise visit today to the demilitarized zone that separates South and North Korea. Pence was briefed a few yards from the demarcation line as two North Korean soldiers watched from a short distance away, one of them taking multiple photographs of the unannounced visitor. Pence arrived in South Korea just after the North's failed ballistic missile test launch, and today Pence said this.
Over the past 18 months, North Korea has conducted two unlawful nuclear tests and an unprecedented number of ballistic missile tests, even conducting a failed missile launch as I traveled here for this visit. The era of strategic patience is over.
Joining us now is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Jeremy.
And this visit to South Korea comes at a very tense time in the region with a lot of heated rhetoric from the North and from the Trump administration. Pence also said that North Korea would do well not to test President Trump's resolve, referring to the strikes on Syria and Afghanistan. Where's this headed?
Curious, isn't it, to think how close the warring sides are to each other? Vice President Pence was so close to the North Koreans today, he almost could have posed with selfies with some of them. But really, you know, the United States is not the ultimate player or actor in the Korean Peninsula crisis. It's really much more about the two Koreas, much more about Japan and China. And they are going to be the principal actors. No matter how much rhetoric North Korea may direct our way, this is really not about us. And we do tend to see it through our own eyes and through our own leaders. But this is about working it out between those four powers in that very tightly constricted area. A lot of nuclear weapons there. There are missiles. They need to work it out.
But it does feel right now like it's more tense, or to you, does it just seem like normal course of business with North Korea?
It's mostly being driven to the brink by North Korea's leadership. The country is in crisis. The country is in a form of collapse. They are fearful that the South Koreans might choose this moment to try to invade and solve the matter of the two Koreas. That could lead to a very tense situation with both China and the United States involved. We have 30,000 troops in South Korea. We would clearly be involved if that were to happen.
Another big foreign policy story over the weekend, Ron. The results are in from the Turkish referendum, which gives President Recep Tayyip Erdogan much more power. They're eliminating the role of prime minister, and he can stay president until 2029 now. How's the White House responding?
So he's been there 15 years, and he wants possibly another 12. Begins to sound a little bit like president for life, doesn't it? The White House obviously has to be troubled by this kind of a development. But on the other hand, there seems to be a general, almost worldwide trend toward more autocratic regimes, people turning to a strong leader in a time of uncertainty or instability, or perceived decline. That seems to be affecting primarily the rural areas of Turkey, which are voting for Erdogan much more so than the cities. He lost all eight of the most populous centers in Turkey and yet won the election barely.
So that city-rural divide also being seen in Turkey. One other thing, Ron, there's actually an election in this country tomorrow. Voters in Georgia's 6th congressional district are going to be voting for a congressional seat that was vacated by Tom Price, who became the Health and Human Services Secretary. Now, the Democrat in the race is John Ossoff, and he is currently leading in this 18-person race in Georgia. Here he is talking to MSNBC last week about why Trump underperformed in the district relative to how he did in the rest of the state.
This community where I grew up is a moderate, pragmatic district, economically minded. I think it recognizes that extremism is bad for business. It wants effective, principled leadership. Doesn't identify as particularly partisan or ideological. I think that's one of the reasons the president had some difficulty here.
Now, Democrats lost a similar special election last week in Kansas. Do they have a chance here, and what does it mean?
They do have a chance here. It's a much better district for them than the one in Kansas, where the Republican winner, Ron Estes, ran 20 points behind what Donald Trump did in that district in November. If we saw anything like that in the Georgia 6th, there would be a Democrat in that seat, at least temporarily. But let's bear in mind, this is Tom Price's district, and he is by no one's measure a moderate. He is definitely a very strong partisan Republican, very much an ideological conservative. So that's his district. It's been his district. He's been popular there. I don't think people should draw too much of a conclusion about that 20 points.
That's NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.